what hours.
All right, so we got through Revelation, got into 8, right? 8, verse 8. Okay. Let's backtrack just a little to verse 6. And if somebody would read verses 6 through 13 then, so the end of chapter 8 for us, get us going back on the four angels and the trumpet blows there. So Colleen, so read verse 6 through 13 of chapter 8. Thank you.
Now the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared to blow them. The first angel blew his trumpet, and there followed hail and fire mixed with blood, and these were thrown upon the earth. And a third of the earth was burned up, and a third of the trees were burned up, and all green grass was burned up. The second angel blew his trumpet, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood. A third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. The third angel blew his trumpet, and a great star fell from heaven, blazing like a torch, and it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. The name of the star is Wormwood. A third of the waters became wormwood, and many people died from the water because it had been made bitter. The fourth angel blew his trumpet, and a third of the sun was struck, and a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of their light might be darkened, and a third of the day might be kept from shining, and likewise a third of the night. Then I looked, and I heard an eagle crying with a loud voice as it flew directly overhead, "Woe, woe, woe to those who dwell on the earth at the blasts of the other trumpets that the three angels are about to blow."
Okay, good. Thank you. So in summary again, what's going on here?
Fair question. What's our answer to that from the previous sevenfold vision?
Well, it was that we they were held back and they weren't supposed to do it until they were given permission.
Okay.
I don't know if this is the same.
Yeah, remember from the first sevenfold vision, the scrolls that are unsealed, okay, the seven seals that are there. What is the seal that is actually the end time seal?
The seventh.
Okay. So these are not, this is the trumpet blows now, the sevenfold trumpet blows. So we're not then, it's going to follow the same pattern. We're not going to get to the last day, end time, return of Christ until the last trumpet blow. Okay. So these first ones are then from what time period or take place in what time frame?
Well, from when Christ came until
the
end.
Okay. So from his ascension then until that day of his return. So what we talked about with the seven seals, the tyranny, the bloodshed, the four horsemen, right? All those things are can be seen as happening from the time of Christ's ascension until his return. So what we don't want to do with any of these visions is what?
Take them literally.
Take them literally, okay? And in direct chronological order. So this isn't a blueprint for exactly how everything's going to play out so that you can then see, oh, this is a sign of the end. The end must be certainly near as we see all these things unfold. These are happening continuously all throughout the world from the time of Christ's ascension until his return. And Merv.
Didn't some of these take place even in the book of Exodus?
Yeah. So I made that comment last time that Brighton in his commentary limits it to the time of Christ, to his ascension through his return. And I'm fine with that. I don't think we have to go too far beyond that. But I think we can also see a lot of these things throughout the entirety of history as well, from the time of the fall in the Garden of Eden until the end of time. Okay. So we have glimpses of all this type of chaos and disorder, destruction. God's working to bring the world to repentance. That's really what's underlying all of this as well. God's desire to see people come to a knowledge of the truth. Okay. Others on that. Okay, so we get to this first trumpet blow, and we have the hail and fire mixed with blood, and these were thrown upon the earth. A third of the earth was burned up, and a third of the trees were burned up, and all green grass was burned up. Now, what side effects are there going to be from this type of physical earthly chaos? Okay, there'll be famine. So these, you can see these things working in tandem with the four horsemen then, right? So all these things are kind of working, and how they're similar. So we're not going to see the four horsemen coming as something distinct or separate from these trumpet blows. Okay, they're really a reimagining of the same thing. So John's getting a second set of visions about the same events or catastrophes that are going to happen on earth. John.
Well, now, does the blood mean that people were going to die, right?
Yeah, bloodshed is usually the sign of violence and war. So hail and fire mixed with blood. Is it literal hail and literal fire? Probably not. You could maybe argue for this as a the forces of nature being unleashed on earth, and then that causing death as well. And we see that, right, all around the world.
Yeah.
Okay, even in our own country.
We see fire in California.
Yeah.
All the time. Yeah,
fire in California. We have tornadoes in the Midwest, hurricanes in the South, earthquakes, you name it. Plus, you then add to that, well, we'll get into these other trumpet blasts and going back to the seals, the actions of man, right? And these are all things that God can utilize and does utilize to do what?
For repentance.
Bring people to repentance. We talked about 9/11 last time, right? What happened after 9/11? Resurgence of faith in the lives of a lot of Americans. Oh, we got to go to the church. We got to pray. Something that bad had happened. Still the same way now? Now, we might get little perks or peaks following the different terrorist attacks that we hear about, but nothing like it was following 9/11. Okay? So God can use those things, and he does, to bring people to repentance and to open the eyes. And so as a church, I don't want to get too much into the muddy waters of capitalizing on crises. But what the church does need to realize is that in the midst of conflict and struggles in the world, this is our chance to proclaim the gospel and to bring healing to those who are suffering and struggling. So when God does allow those things to happen, we need to see that. This is our chance to truly proclaim the purity of the gospel, because we know there's going to be other groups, other churches that aren't doing that. They're seeking to get people in. They're going to play on their emotions and on their feelings, and not truly present the gospel in a comforting way, or at least not continually in that sense. Jim?
What is the significance of a third of this, a third of that, and a third of this?
Okay.
Or is it just, he's just showing you what's to come?
Yeah, again, we talked with the scrolls too. This was a partial way of speaking. So what does that include, or what does this get to? Where do we go with this? A third isn't...
It's not all of it.
So there's control here, right? So this isn't just all hell breaking loose. This is God allowing certain things to happen for a certain purpose. And so there's comfort that's there too. And not that we're, oh, good, we're not part of that third, because there's destruction and chaos happening for everyone all the time. And we have it in our own lives, our own families, things like that. But it's not complete and total destruction. That's coming on the last day.
That might show something
still to come, right?
All out.
Dan?
Well, the third, it doesn't say it's the same third of the earth in each place,
right? Mm-hmm.
So it means, to me, it would also indicate that there's plenty of destruction there to encompass the entire earth, different things affecting different areas.
Right. Yeah, and that was kind of, I think, what we had with the seals, too, and the four horsemen, that it wasn't... something like tyranny isn't going to overcome the entire world all at one time. But you're going to see tyranny in one part of the world, while you'll see famine in another part of the world. You may see some overlap, but you're not going to see everything in fullness at the same time. Okay? And that's the same case here with the trumpet blows as well. But be sure that there is going to be, there, these things are going on perpetually from the time of Christ's ascension until his return. The world will not be in perfect harmony and stasis at any given time until Christ's return. Yeah.
There's not going to be any part of the world that probably will not be affected.
Right. Yeah, again, yeah, good luck finding that spot, right?
Right.
Yeah, nobody's going to know where that is anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, and don't fall into the trap of thinking The United States of America was that place, right? Oh, we were the golden country, we were God's nation, and everything was just, I mean, there's always been something going on here to cause problems and driving us to a better faith in Christ. Herb?
Back visions of Mount Sinai and the children of Israel going there.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, these signs, the visible nature, God's judgment, in a sense, is being seen here as well. He's causing it. He's allowing this to take place. It's under his guise, his authority. Okay. So a third of the earth, again, this idea, and these are earthly things. So the vegetation, the crops, the trees, these things are all being burned up and consumed. It's not directly impacting man. Okay, but it will impact man indirectly. Okay, the direct impact on man is still to come. Okay, that's the first trumpet blast. Other questions on that? Okay, so to the second trumpet blast, the second angel blew his trumpet, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea. A third of the sea became blood. A third of the living creatures in the sea died. A third of the ships were destroyed. So again, this idea of partial destruction, not complete and total. Okay, so again, God has this under control, and he's using this in a intentional manner, that's what it means, okay, to achieve his purpose. So what is this then? Something like a great mountain burning with fire thrown into the sea. So a third of the sea became blood. What might you think regarding that? Joan? Well, okay, so it could have volcanic eruptions, that's what I was going with, okay, could be that. Again, we don't want to go too literal, okay, so it could be that, but we're looking at as the trumpet blast came before and caused destruction with the trees, the crops, things like that to affect mankind on the earth through food and things like that, resources, consumerism, not that I was getting that. Commercialism, that's what I was thinking. How is that going to play out then on the sea? Same idea, right? There's still a lot of dependence on the sea for the well-being of mankind, too. Okay, so what's happened recently in the last few years on the sea for people, even?
The oil thing.
Okay, oil? Oil spills?
Yeah, the one down there.
Oh, yeah. In the Gulf Coast, yeah, the Gulf of, yeah. Okay, so oil spills could be part of that, contaminating the sea life.
Piracy.
Okay. Piracy, yeah, that's what I was thinking of too. Okay, so attacks on people on the sea as well. There, we add to that the bloodshed idea that's coming in. So a third of the sea becomes blood. A third of the living creatures in the sea died, so oil spills, other type of pollutions, things like that could be a part of that. A third of the ships destroyed. Storms will wipe those out. Still solve the Bermuda Triangle? Has it been solved yet? but there's mysteries that are out there, right? What do they say about the depths of the sea? It's still only a very small percentage of the sea has ever been explored, right? It's still a very big mystery. So lots of stuff still out there that can cause chaos for mankind. Bonnie?
There seems to be a lot of refugees trying to get from really bad, poor situations to something better and
okay.
Drowning.
Yeah, okay, that happens, yeah. Across the seas, people trying to get to freedom. But there's problems that, and you can see that with the first trumpet blast too then, right? Natural disasters that would keep people from traveling across the land as well. Yeah, Joan?
Well, we've had several tsunamis because of earthquakes.
Yeah.
And people died from them because they didn't expect them. But now I think that they try to figure out whether they're going to come in or not.
Mm-hmm.
They lost a lot of people.
Good. So this discussion, hopefully, what it's doing is it's shifting your way of thinking of Revelation here as foreshadowing things that are way off in the distance and actually blueprinting what's going on right now. And these things are all already occurring. And they had been from the time of Christ and beyond, as we talked about even before that, I would say. But in this case, we're really talking about until Christ returns. Okay, so again, these visions, the sevenfold visions, it's not what a lot of churches think. It's all about the end, the end, the end, the end. We're in that time now. And it could come at any moment, but we have to recognize these are all things that have been ongoing for the last 2,000 years as well.
But what about Okay. We'll pray to the Lord and he'll take care of us.
Absolutely. Well, that's the beauty of the interludes that we get in the book of Revelation, the glimpses of hope and of control that Christ does have. Even in the visions that John gets, God is in control. None of this is happening apart from his will or his desire. Satan's not getting into heaven and stealing away authority from God and then wreaking havoc. God is allowing this to happen. Good. Anything else? Okay. The third trumpet, or third angel blew his trumpet, and a great star fell from heaven, blazing like a torch. It fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of the water. Now he's given a name, the star anyway, right? The name of the star is Wormwood. Not screw tape. Wormwood. Third of the waters became wormwood, and many people died from the water because it had been made bitter. Now, wormwood gets no other distinction here, so no other qualifications or characteristics are given as some type of actual being. Okay, so we don't want to go down the road of saying this is an actual, like a fallen angel or anything like that. Okay, but it is given this title of wormwood because of its effect that it has on the waters. Okay, so again, we're not going with the route of this is some type of physical comet that strikes the earth and causes something catastrophically, that's what I was thinking. That's good. So again, this isn't an event that the Christian church can look at. Okay, that hasn't happened yet, so we're still not to the end. Okay. Oh, but when we see this comet coming down and touching earth in the water, this is Revelation 8 then, you know, happening. That's not the case. This isn't a literal comet that's coming named Wormwood. This is just not going to happen. Okay, what's going on then? How do you understand this? Again, like we've talked about with the first trumpet blasts, okay, natural disasters that occur on the earth, okay, catastrophes that happen in the sea, what might occur that causes the waters to become impossible to drink? Pollution. Okay, other contaminations that occur. Okay, that's why, you know, in our world, anything we do, even drilling in the ocean, we want to do in a safe way so that we don't mess with the waters, the life that's around there. Now, that's not, we don't drink the water of the ocean, thankfully, but the waters of the fresh waters, okay, there's going to be contamination for those things too. Okay, so think of it whatever you want that might cause those fresh bodies of water to be contaminated. And this is kind of the direction that we're going. Again, a third of the rivers, a third of the waters become this way. Not the entirety of them. Okay? But those of you who have traveled to Mexico, other third world countries, even places in Europe, okay, not safe to
drink the water.
Drink the water. Okay? Interesting. Or the ice. Ice is still relatively new in a lot of European countries. Yeah. Okay. Why is that? Now, most people aren't going to directly connect that with Revelation 8. But we can't help but to think, it says, all these things are taking place from the time of Christ until his return. Okay. So, the contamination of water sources, this is reality. This is Revelation 8 in effect. Dan?
One of the evangelicals and authors that write for the evangelical churches, most of them independent, a lot of times describe this as a nuclear bomb that has fallen from the sky.
Yeah.
And what John sees is this bomb falling from the sky, and as it explodes, the radioactive fallout pollutes great amounts of water. So there again, these are typically millennialists.
Right.
And we interpret this differently, but that's...
Right. What's the biggest problem with such an interpretation?
Well,
you're guessing God.
It's talking about a specific event that still has to come before the time can be complete, which...
Yeah, it's limiting the scope of Revelation 8 to a specific event.
Right.
Okay. Now, nuclear explosion, which does cause radiation and problems on Earth, can be included in these, but not limited to that one event. And that's the problem that some of these churches fall into. Okay, we haven't seen this happen in a way since dropping of the atomic bombs in Japan, so this must not be happening. again, this is putting this off down the road in the distance. So the time of Christ really isn't here yet, or the end isn't really that close until we see these things really, these things are happening. Okay? It doesn't take a nuclear explosion. There are other causes for this. Okay? But nuclear explosions can be included in that.
And they'll really get into it in chapter 9, too, when a lot of this, I say, describing a modern bomber.
Yeah, we got to shift gears when we get into chapter 9 a little bit. There's a difference there, but yeah, good. Herb?
I was just reading about solar flares.
Solar flares. What about them?
They're worse than nuclear bombs. The last one that hit the Earth with such devastation was 1859.
Where did it hit the Earth? Isn't that more general? What does it do? I don't know.
Electromagnetic.
Okay.
It shut all electronics.
Interesting. Yeah, 1859 wouldn't have had any electrical stuff yet, right? Not that much. But it would have, I'm sure there was some kind of cause or effect from that. But yeah, so what do we do with that? It's part of this, right? Not limited to those events. Joan?
Well, to say it's part of it, we've got underground water here.
Mm-hmm.
I said the Mahama Aquifer,
mm-hmm.
and they're trying to put trash over it, and there was a big fight over it.
Yeah,
And so I think they're limiting it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad because our well will do it.
Okay. No. Yeah, so that's a part of it as well. And you could fall into the trap, I think, probably here too, of going the total environmental protection route and saying Revelation 8, in order to prevent these things from happening, or maybe the return of Christ, we can prolong it by preserving the earth. Okay, so it's our job to make sure there's no pollution, no contamination, things like that. Again, that's denying the true interpretation of this. These things are already ongoing. There's no stopping them. God is allowing them to occur. Why? Again, to bring people to repentance. Plus, you look at the natural disasters and these things that occur more naturally. What's the conclusion you draw from there? As a Christian, looking at the entirety of the picture. He's in control, but this is not the place we're meant to be eternally yet. Okay, it's not perfect. It hasn't been cleansed of all these things, of its imperfections. Okay, that will come, and we will live in a new heavens and a new earth that is free from these things. Okay, and these, I think, are reminders of that. We need to be that way, too. So we can't make this world perfect. We can't fix all the problems that are here. They're ongoing until Christ returns. Other comments or questions?
Yeah. But on the other hand, should we also say he wants us to take care of what he's given us?
Well, sure,
to the best
sure.
of our abilities
yeah.
and not
yeah,
have
we,
a totally fatalist
Absolutely.
Attitude?
Yeah, in no way are we to try to accelerate the process. Right? We don't think, it's all happening anyway, so we might as well just do whatever. And that's the same with... Same with our look on sin and God's law as well. We're forgiven, so we might as well just do whatever we want, so grace may increase. But that's never God's instruction to us. So the same is, I think, in effect there too. We care for it, but again, as Christians, especially as Lutherans, we learn to walk the middle road. We have to balance. Go too far one direction, and we're in one false teaching. Too far in the other direction, we're in another. Okay. So we have to look at our balance that's there. Okay. Other things.
We saw what happened at Chernobyl. 3,000 people plus died, contamination of all the soil, the water, people moving out, even the wild animals and stuff are now contaminated. Whatever.
Where was that?
Chernobyl.
Oh, Chernobyl? Right. Is that what you're talking about in Russia?
Oh, in Russia.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so real, yeah, those things happened.
In Japan as well.
Mm-hmm. What, 50 years, they say, of radiation poisoning?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, so real life stuff. But again, limited to Revelation 8 here, or part of it, not the entirety of it. Okay, good. Anything else? Yes?
I'm trying to think of the name of the Christian author that used Wormwood as his character.
Lewis. Yeah. Yeah, that's C.S. Lewis. That was what I referenced before. It's not Screwtape, but C.S. Lewis. Plus, Wormwood does always reminds me of the hymn, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name, where we get to that verse 5, sinners whose love can ne'er forget the wormwood and the gall, go spread your trophies at his feet and crown him Lord of all. So, sinners whose love can never forget the wormwood and the gall. Of course, the bitterness of what Christ had to drink up for us, right? And we have to suffer some of the consequences for our sins as well. So, sin is not free from contamination. But, good. Wormwood and the gall. Colleen?
Go to Dr. Gethsemane has wormwood.
Oh, okay. I think Laura Jordan reminds me of that too. Good. No, I forget that one, but thank you. go to Dark Gethsemane. Good. If there's nothing else on the third blow, go to the fourth. Verse 12 and following. Fourth angel blew his trumpet, and a third of the sun was struck, a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of their light might be darkened, a third of the day might be kept from shining, and likewise a third of the night. Okay, what do we do with that?
Well, it makes me think of when Christ died on the cross.
Okay. Yeah, it's not too hard for our Christ-centered minds to wander into that route. It's not quite what's going on here, though. Again, we're talking about these things that are taking place from the time of Christ's ascension until his return. Natural disasters, natural consequences of an imperfect world, a cursed world. Okay. So in what way would this show up then for mankind during this 1,000-year reign of Christ that we're in?
Don? Jesus is the God of light, so some of his word would be taken away.
So we could go the more figurative route, right, and talk about the light of Christ and his word. Okay. We haven't done that with the other ones as much, though, right? The spiritualizing of the first three trumpet blows. But we'll limit that at this point here. So we'll go still with a physical reality. How might we explain this? Or how we experienced this already?
Eclipse.
Eclipse. Okay, now eclipses are interesting, right? They're natural phenomenon, but they don't last, right? They're pretty short in their span. So it's not necessarily that.
Heavy-duty storms.
Okay, so it could be storms.
Cloud coverage.
Ashes from volcanoes.
Okay, so volcanic eruptions that might cover over the earth for any length of time.
Fires.
Okay, fires. What else? This is real common when I was growing up, I remember. The worry about the hole in the ozone layer, right? So pollution, smog, all those things, again, that cause the problems that are here on earth. Solar flares, perhaps. Might be worked into that. Again, this isn't a literal thing per se. You're not going to see a third of the sun blocked out or a third of the moon. But the light that's there, the power that comes from that, the creative work of the lights in our world is limited, okay, by the sin in this world and the corruption that's here. Okay, Dan?
Well, if a third of the sun was lost, we wouldn't have to worry about global warming.
Right.
We would become a frozen planet.
Well, that's true, right? Yeah,
so
we wouldn't.
I don't think that's there again. We don't look at a literal.
Which, some churches would jump on and say, "Well, that obviously hasn't happened. So we haven't come to the conclusion, or this hasn't occurred yet." Revelation 8. But again, these are things that are ongoing from the time of Christ's departure until his return. Herm?
It brings to mind, although I'm sure it's not the hopeful, it's the flood.
Okay.
The flood, the human anatomy.
Okay. Yeah. Again, that's worldwide catastrophe. Clouds, I'm sure, were there to block out the light of the sun. And if it were cloudy all the time, I don't know what the... I guess, scientists out there, if it were cloudy all the time, what would happen to the earth? Okay, you would have problems with crop production. Even if it was rainy, you would need the sun to dry things out to help things grow. Okay, plus, again, not a direct impact, but it does indirectly impact us, right? Mm-hmm. How so?
It makes us grumpy.
Yeah. Reality, right?
Speak for yourself.
I hate dark. I don't like dark. I get grumpier, Bob.
See, I think that's a real reality thing because people do suffer from that, right? When winter months is bad enough for us here in the Midwest, we want to be outside. We want the sun. To have it more permanently like that would be a problem. Yeah.
Okay, now this is, well, I'm not sure about this. In Alaska, isn't it dark?
Yeah.
Or could that have something to do with this?
A third of the world up there in the, well, it wouldn't just be Alaska, but I mean any territory that's up there, or the other end of the earth, right? In Antarctica would be the opposite. Okay, but those places are, for the most part, uninhabitable. Now, Alaska, there's some, you know, in North Arctic you can live. You can't survive in Antarctica for any length of time, right? So there's your, you know, again, the impact of a fallen world, okay, as it relates to what should be good things, the sun, the moon, the stars, they can't do their job in certain parts of the world. They make some parts of the world uninhabitable. I mean, look at the desert regions then, too, of the planet. Okay, there are many deserts where you just can't live. You can't find enough water to survive. Well, some people can. It's not meant for everybody, though. I think that then, too, shows us the difference between the earth now and the way God had created it originally. There is a big difference that's there. Bill?
Could this have a lot to do with our stewardship of our world, how we take care of it, day in and day out, in terms of we create problems that we, as people, have been instructed to not do this because the world is
going to some extent. As we talked about before, I think we have an obligation as the stewards of the earth to take care of it to the best of our ability without elevating that care to any position of deity or even monopolizing of our efforts. Okay, God gives us many vocations in our lives to handle, and he wants those things first and foremost. So if you're of the mind that our planet needs to be saved from all of these contaminations to the neglect of your wife, your kids, your neighbors, your community, then those things should be put in their proper place. Okay? At the same time, again, we walk that path in between the extremes. We do not want to abuse the world either. Okay? We want to treat it and take care of it in a certain way. I don't personally believe that we can, as people, destroy the planet, okay, in its entirety. We can cause impacts, but I've heard reports and studies, too, that smog levels in Los Angeles, the Great Basin area there, were worse 100 years ago than they are now. How that works, I don't know, but those are the reports that we've gotten. So even though we've made lots of steps in progress in cleaning up our pollution and things like that, I don't think we are going to physically be able to totally destroy this world. It doesn't mean we can't hurt it, and we can't, I mean, you walk down the hall and the artwork from our students is all about polluting the bodies of water. Okay, I like it because it's don't throw trash in the lakes. Anybody here throw trash in the water? And we don't do that. It's not a direct thing, but some of the things we do can lead to that type of stuff. So it's just a cognizance of being aware of what our actions actually, what effects they cause. Is that right? Yeah. So it's an awareness, and I think that's important, that we do recognize that as God's people. Because, again, we are the pinnacle of his creation. Okay? We are to care for the earth. It's a lot harder now than it was in the garden, of course, but we recognize it's all in its proper place below service of Christ and the neighbor. So yeah, Christians should not be of the mentality we can just do whatever we want and there's no consequences. That's never the Christian mentality. Okay. Good? All right, more on the light, sun, stars. All right. So then, to the last section here of chapter 8. Then I looked, okay, so this indicates a break here, a change in scenery for John. So he's seeing the four angels who are blowing on their trumpets and indicating these four events that are happening worldwide at any given time, from the time of Christ's ascension until his return. And then John looks, and what does he see, or hear? Well, look and see. An eagle. Just your average, ordinary, everyday eagle. Okay. John's probably like, oh, that's nice. And I don't have to see a big mountain falling into the sea. I don't have to see wormwood or whatever it is contaminated. There's an eagle. Okay, but what is he doing?
Crying with a loud voice.
Okay, so John's hearing another loud voice, and so loud voices are usually connected with proclamations, announcements, and it's not the voice of a trumpet here, which is good, but still probably connected with the call of Christ and his word that's initiated all of this. So now the eagle crying out with a loud voice, so that's uncommon, because eagles don't have voices. They make sounds, but they don't get to speak, typically. But he does have a message. So as he's flying overhead, he says,
whoa.
Yeah, how many?
Three.
Significance? Okay, the three number of completion, but what's coming? Three more trumpet blasts, right? So these are linked. The woes that the eagle is announcing here, get ready, because you thought the first four were bad. That's the natural disaster stuff. Now we're going to get even worse. Okay, things are going to increase or intensify with these last blasts. So woe, woe, woe to those who dwell on the earth at the blasts of the other trumpets that the three angels are about to blow. Okay, so again, imagine John in his human state viewing all of this. Thankfully, he had the break in chapter 7 of seeing the church militant, the church triumphant, and all them glorifying Christ in God's presence. Now he's seeing this destruction that's taking place with the first four trumpet blasts, and now it's going to get even worse. But it should be recalling to his mind the first sevenfold vision. Okay, the first four seals that were open, things got worse after that too. Okay, the first four were more natural in their causes from the earth's perspective. The last three, more supernatural. Okay, so here, we're getting into these supernatural things as well. And messaged by an eagle. What's any significance of the eagle that you can think of?
It's the most majestic of birds in flight.
Okay, so majestic, the eagle in flight. Bird of prey, powerful. Okay, God has used it in the past. Scriptures have talked about eagles in the past too. Renew your strength as that of an eagle. Okay, plus one of the four apostles is viewed as an eagle or given that as his sign. I don't think it's typically John, though. I wish it was.
I am an eagle.
Okay. Okay, so being able to see, that could be too, his position and his woe, and that he has vision to see what's about to take place. Okay.
Wings of an eagle.
Wings of an eagle. Yeah, and then interesting, Hilly, here. I got to do Greek stuff. Brighton, in his commentary, points out in verse 13. Let's see, make sure I get this. Okay, there's the uai, 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 the woe. To those who are dwelling upon the earth out of the blasts of the phonane. That's all. Blasts of the other trumpets, three angels. He comments here. Let me read it directly so I don't mess it up. Because I think it's significant in understanding the source of all this again.
It's kind of fun to hear you read that, though, because if you watch, you can almost figure out what some of the words are.
Greek letters are, some of them match up with English.
TWV, it's the.
Kind of. Let's see. Yes. Yeah, Joan? Go ahead. The eagle does? Okay. So an idea of judgment that's there? The presence of the eagle? Oh, the woe. Yeah. Well, yeah, and we got that from Christ too, right? The blessings, the curses, the woes that he hands out. The woes are definitely a sign of judgment that's to come. Sure. What Brighton writes here regarding this last verse, the eagle cries out the three woes in reference to the remaining voices of the trumpet of the three angels who are about to blow their trumpets. The trumpet, tes salpingas, of the three angels who are about to blow their trumpets is singular. The plural might have been expected, but the singular here could refer to the one trumpet, the trumpet-like voice of the exalted Lord Christ. The trumpet that the last three angels will blow is on behalf of Jesus Christ, for it is in his stead that they sound their individual trumpets as they mediate the woes. So the Greek word here isn't plural trumpets, but rather at the blast of the other trumpet, or of the trumpet. Actually, the other should go with the other angels, not with the trumpet. So the trumpet singular, the blast of the trumpet of the other three angels is about to blow. And that then connects it again with the trumpet-like voice of the Christ, who is authorizing and in control of all of this.
The Trinity.
Okay. Yeah. Partially, that's there. Okay. But again, with this idea that Christ is the one in charge of all this, is good, because no matter how bad things get, he's the victor. And he won't let it get to be so bad that there's no hope. Right? Well, that's always, you know, the positive thing, too. You've seen this in your own life. You know, well, maybe an example would be surgery. Okay? You don't want there to be damage to the body, but there has to be some type of damage to bring healing. Okay, so in this case, there's going to be destruction, there's going to be judgment, but it's not going to be to the extent that it's going to destroy the body, or destroy everything. It has a purpose, it has its limit. Okay? And Christ is the one who controls that. And he's capable, isn't he? Capable hands indeed. The one who's the only one who's able to take the scroll from the hand of the Father and read it, reveal it to the heavenly host. Okay. Are there questions or comments on the rest of 8 here? Okay. Diving into 9. You ready? All right. So let's see what the fifth angel has in store for us. Verses 1 through 6 we'll read. Somebody volunteered to read 9. Verses 1 through 6. Chuck, we'll have you do that. Daniel, you'll read next.
And the fifth angel blew his trumpet, and I saw a star fallen from heaven to earth, and he was given the key to the shaft of the bottomless pit. He opened the shaft of the bottomless pit, and from the shaft rose smoke like the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened with the smoke from the shaft. Then from the smoke came locusts on the earth, and they were given power like the power of scorpions of the earth. They were told not to harm the grass of the earth or any green plant or any tree, but only those people who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. They were allowed to torment them for 5 months, but not to kill them, and their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it stings someone. And in those days people will seek death and will not find it. They will long to die, but death will flee from them.
Oh boy. Now, Dan, this is what you alluded to before, right? The churches that will take these next visions and put a modern spin on them, right? So what might they think are these locusts, actually, that can cause damage and sting, like scorpions?
Like fighter aircraft.
Yeah. And John, of course, didn't know what that was, so he's limited in his scope. But, yeah, the modern church might say, oh, we see that in military. Okay? So we have to watch out for the nations that might increase their repertoire or their supplies of these weapons. And they could be then the enacting of Revelation chapter 9. Okay? But we got to look at the source of all this as well. Okay, so the fifth angel blew his trumpet. Again, fifth, separate now from the first four, but still part of that entire message, of the sevenfold message of these trumpets. And so after the fifth angel blew his trumpet, John says, I saw a star fallen from heaven to earth. Okay, what's the significance of that here? Okay, he's not saying he's seeing it currently falling, but he's seeing a star which has fallen. Okay, and so we know then that to be usually, we see that as Lucifer, right? The fallen star from God's realm. Okay, so he sees a star fallen from heaven, and then the continuing description helps with his identity. He was given the key to the shaft of the bottomless pit. Okay, what is that? Okay. Typically then we think of hell. Okay. And so he's given the key, which means what? He does have control, but still limited, because it has to be given to him, right? So he doesn't have it by his own authority. It's granted to him. Okay? So God is really still in charge of hell and all that goes on there. Okay? It's under the authority, so to speak, of Satan, but God is still the one who gives that key to him. So he was given the key to the shaft of the bottomless pit. He opened the shaft of the bottomless pit, and from the shaft rose smoke like the smoke of a great furnace. So again, the image of hell, burning fire, heat, destruction, okay, all part and parcel with the description of hell from the scriptures. Okay, this is pretty common in our understanding of the abyss, called the bottomless pit. What's the idea behind that bottomless pit reference?
No way out.
Okay, no end. It's not limited in space. Only a certain amount can actually fit there. Broad and wide is the path to destruction, scriptures say. So don't think that hell is only reserved for the few. Okay, it's plenty big for as many as reject Christ, okay, who do not believe in him. Okay, so it's bottomless pit. From the shaft rose smoke like the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened with the smoke from the shaft. Now, this is a little different from the first four trumpet blasts, because we're not dealing with natural disasters anymore. We've got now a more spiritualized reality, supernatural in scope. Okay, so we can then, I think, with that, move from a more literal vision of what's going on here on earth to a spiritualized one. So in that sense, we have this smoke coming up and blocking the light from the sun. How can we spiritualize that a little bit then?
Spreading of sin.
Okay, so the rise of sin, okay, rejection of God will block the light of God's word and maybe even the gospel of Christ. Okay, and then, of course, we get the revelation of the smoke. Then from the smoke came locusts on the earth. They were given power like the power of scorpions of the earth. Okay, so what's the characteristics of locusts?
Sting.
Locusts don't sting. Just locusts themselves. Yeah, the scorpions will. Okay. Okay, so they swarm, right? They'll go around. They can destroy. They don't eat people, right? Usually. Okay. Scorpions can sting, and they're given the power like scorpions. So what do scorpions do?
They sting,
and not typically though. Deadly, right? They can, some, but not usually. They cause pain and discomfort. And here in this sense, as we get to the end of this opening section, to the point where death will be wished. Okay, it's so bad that people want to die. Okay, now, if we're spiritualizing this, again, we're not looking for actual locusts to infiltrate the earth and destroy. We're not looking for a flood of scorpions to take over all these places that we normally might think of. Pastor.
Back in the day, Hal Lindsey said the locusts were helicopters during the Vietnam War, right after that.
Right, right. Yeah. So the modernizing of this, putting a technological spin on it. Of course, John didn't know those things, so he couldn't see. Well, they look kind of like locusts. I don't know what they are, but I'll call them locusts because I don't know any better. Okay. That's typically how that view goes. But we're not, again, this isn't a literalistic thing. That happened more in the first four blows of the trumpet and the first scrolls. Now we're more to the spiritualized aspect. Merv? Okay. So this rise of false prophets. Now, what's driving the false prophets and the false teachings? And remember where this is coming from. From the smoke, from the bottomless pit. So who's coming from the bottomless pit to infiltrate the earth? His minions, right? The devil and his angels. So they're the ones that are now coming forth from as the smoke, as these locusts, infiltrating the earth and causing destruction and stinging many people with the power of like that of scorpions. Again, they're not scorpions. They're not locusts. They don't look like them. Okay, but this is how John it's been given to him in this vision. That's what it looks like. That's how they will act, right? That's how they will fill the earth. What other characteristics are there of the locusts and the scorpions? So even here, locusts come and they destroy, and then move on. Ever wipe out fully the entire plant population of the earth? No. Huh?
Come back
and say. Yeah, if they could, again, though, what does this indicate? A limitation on this destruction. Okay, the sting of the scorpion. If the devil had his way and full authority and power, what would he actually do?
Take all of us.
Destroy and kill everyone, right? Before they had a chance to repent. So remember, this is also what's causing God to allow these things to happen. He wants people to repent. And so even this loosening now of the devil into the world through his demons and that their power, God is still limiting it so that people can feel the impact of their sin and still turn to Christ for redemption, for repentance. Okay, so they were told, again, here's this outside figure commanding them. It's not the devil. Okay, this is still God who has the authority. They were told not to harm the grass of the earth, or any green plant, or any tree, but only those people who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. This, again, I think is the shift to the spiritual aspect of things. This is not a literal locust to take care of physical things on the earth. That was the first four again. Now we're to the spiritualizing aspect. Joan?
Well, is that the seal that we have on our head?
Back to Revelation 7, right? Those who are sealed by God with his seal. And we talked about that as being baptism. Right? You are given the mark of Christ on you as the seal. Okay? So those who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads are safe from the direct consequences of these demons in the world. Okay? They're not allowed to touch you, thankfully. That doesn't mean you won't feel the effects from everything else around you, though. Okay? Just like you won't physically get attacked by a swarm of locusts. But you will feel the effects of it from the destruction that it causes. Okay, so the Christians, God's sealed ones, the church militant, are protected from this attack by the demonic realm. Okay, so thankfully, usually within the church, within the body of Christ, we don't see a rise of an influx of sinfulness, gross sinfulness, of course. We have our own sins that we commit personally and privately, but usually within the church, you don't see a whole group of murderers, rapists, okay, child molesters, or anything like that. Those things are usually kept at bay, along with demonic possession or what might appear as such. Okay, those things are limited within the body of Christ. Okay, so here we have the same idea. Those who are sealed in Christ will not suffer the full effects of the demonic attack as those who do not have the seal will. Questions on that? Comments?
And Satan said, "All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship."
Okay.
My kingdom.
So yeah, Satan's words to Jesus, right? Kind of creepy, isn't it? Yeah. Satan's kingdom, which is where we're at. Yeah. Jesus is like, "Yeah, I'll pass." You don't really have much to give. Satan doesn't possess anything by his own authority. Okay, that's his delusion, that he has anything really to offer. And of course, Christ will not fall for that. He knows who is truly in control and who has authority over everything. So really, the devil is limited in his tempting power. He thinks that's a great offer, but Christ knows better. And when we understand our reality as God's saints on earth, as the kings and queens of his kingdom, any temptation from Satan should be laughed at by us too. What have you got to offer me that I don't already have in Christ? He's given me his kingdom. He's given me everything. There's nothing you can give to me that I don't already have or can make my life any better than it already is. Now, of course, we're weak and we fall into the sinfulness. That should be how we respond, as Christ did to Satan. Okay. And, go ahead, Chuck.
You know, how dumb was the devil to even ask Jesus that? Did God deceive him into not really? He had to know who Christ was, right?
It's interesting. Not dumb per se, but he's not omniscient, right? The devil doesn't know everything.
I mean, so did he not really know that? Who Christ was?
Yeah, scholars are mixed on this. Theologians look at this, I think, as Satan knowing as a fallen angel the Son of God, and being present in the Christ. So he knows that God cannot fall. He knows that God cannot fail. And yet he sees now a chance, as watered down as it may be, that he can get this whole thing messed up because humanity's involved. And we still would argue Christ is not going to let that happen, and we know that. Okay, but Satan can't pass the chance. Okay, there's still hope there for him that he can. What would happen, of course, if Christ did fall? I mean, it would be total chaos. It would be all over. And it's not going to happen. But there's still, and that's the thing. Satan isn't perfect. He's not holy. He's not all omniscient. He doesn't know everything. Okay, so he still has that hope. He still has that. And maybe
he did know that Christ was the Son of God. He didn't know who he was.
Yeah, he's, if you are the Son of God, right? That's his comment, his testing to Jesus. But yeah, the demons know, right? Yeah, they claim it. We know who you are, the righteous one of God. You're not fooling us. So Satan knows that too. But it's like you and me. We know the truth, and yet we still have to kind of test it. Yeah, Herm?
Christ's defense was the Word of God.
Absolutely. Yeah, so it's not even in his own divine identity. He goes back to the Word of God. Okay? Established, written, which is a beautiful thing for us, right? So it's not even about our identity. For us, we go back to the Word of Christ, the Word of God. That's enough. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. That's to be our source. Yeah, Bonnie?
I was just thinking the word arrogant. It makes, you know, that, to me, that's what I think of as Satan all the time. There's always arrogance there that,
sure,
you know, you have to try it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and usually that's what theologians say is the cause of his fall, is his pride. He could not allow God's plan to come. It just didn't make sense to him. It couldn't work. He couldn't swallow that. Wouldn't allow God to have that way. And so arrogance then falls right along with that. He's cocky, arrogant. He has his own ideas. He wants to see as many people fall as possible. Okay, he'll do whatever he can to make that happen. Yeah, Joan?
Well, you know, in chapter 10 of John, Jesus says that no one will snatch them out of my hand.
Mm-hmm.
I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm glad.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't want to be snatched.
The image of a diver in a shark repellent cage or a shark proof cage comes to mind. Okay, now, usually we think of who's dumb enough to do that, right? But those who are in there are trusting that cage will hold and will protect them. And so it's kind of like that for us as Christians. We are in that cage in the midst of all this attack. And we know, we have the sure word of God that cage is going to hold. We will not be be destroyed by the oncoming shark of the devil and his attacks. But how then can we fail, even if that's the situation? It's not that the outside forces can hurt us, but we try and get out of that cage or tamper with it at all. It looks a little weak here. I'm going to try and make it better. And then we actually make it worse. Okay, so when we take matters into our own hands, that's when the problems arise. So again, yeah, God, nobody can snatch us out of God's hand. But I know, not to add to scripture, but you can sure talk yourself out of it. Okay. You can reject. You can still fall away. Good. Is there anything else on this? This is the fifth angel and the trumpet being blown. We're at the end of our time, so I don't want to go too much longer here. They were allowed to torment them for 5 months, but not to kill them. Their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it stings someone. Anybody been stung by a scorpion? Okay, no, almost did, but thankfully avoided that. Sure doesn't feel good. Been stung by other things, so that's no fun. But 5 months, where does this specific number come from? Brighton comments that it could be the life, the cycle, normal cycle of a locust. So that was maybe what was in his mind or what he saw and why it's... Again, that's a literal thing, so it's not... The point is it's limited. Okay, it's not ongoing. It's not forever. Okay, so as the locust had... That means it's time's up. as the locust has its normal cycle of activity, so this has its normal limits and cycles too. Okay, this locust, swarm of locusts will not continue on to destroy everything in its path. It will come to an end at some point. Okay, so that's the case here too, but their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it stings somebody. Those days people will seek death, but will not find it. They will long to die, but death will flee from them. What would happen if they did find it? And so you can almost see, you should maybe then see here, what? The fact that they can't find death is gospel. Okay? Because God is allowing them still a chance to repent, as opposed to dying and being away from him forever. Okay? So, interesting take on that. All right, we'll close then with the doxology. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.